Dan Walters has been a journalist for more than half a century, spending all but a few of those years working for California newspapers. At one point in his career, at age 22, he was the nation's youngest daily newspaper editor. I wonder if he's now the oldest columnist. He joined the Sacramento Union's Capitol Bureau in 1975, just as Jerry Brown began his first governorship. So he's tied in with Jerry Brown. And later became the Union's Capitol Bureau chief. In 81, Walters began writing the state's only daily newspaper column devoted to California political, economic, social events. In 84, he and the column moved to the Sacramento Bee. He's written more than 8,500 columns about California and its politics. His column appears in dozens of newspapers, including the Santa Barbara News Press. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Dan Walters.
Thank you. I'm not the oldest columnist. George Skelton of the LA Times is older than I am.
George Skelton?
Yes.
Is he related to Red?
I don't think so, no.
Hey, you know what? I asked that question. You never know. You never know. So he's older than you, and but it says in your bio that you were the... In 81, you were writing the state's only daily newspaper columnist devoted to California political. So is he also doing that, George Skelton?
He writes a column, I think, two or three times a week. I can't remember offhand now. But not daily, no.
So, well, as a matter of fact, as a surprise, Dan, we have George Skelton on the line. Today we're going to talk to Dan Walters about these propositions. I didn't count them. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 8. There's over 20, I guess.
Well, there's 17 on the statewide ballot.
17 on the statewide ballot? Well, I guess I counted too quickly. I have a list of them. You wrote a column recently about the state's sharp increase in crime fuels political debate. And in that column, you mention Proposition 57, 62, and 66. So I thought we'd just start our conversation with those three propositions.
Okay. What you want to know?
Well, which do you expect to win, or why should someone vote yes or no? What do they mean? What are their implications?
Well, Proposition... Start out. Give those numbers again.
Sorry. So, okay, I'm looking at Proposition 57. It says criminal sentences, parole, juvenile proceedings.
57 is Jerry Brown's measure that his campaign is financed to put it on the ballot. It's about an initiative, not something put on the legislature. This is an initiative to undo the determinant sentencing law that he signed when he was governor the first time around 40 years ago. He says that was a mistake, and now he's wants to undo it. What it would do would make it easier to get parole because a determinate sentence, let me go back, a determinate sentence is you are in for a certain length of time and that's it, basically, no parole. Indeterminate sentence is that you have a kind of a minimum sentence, and then the parole board determines whether you qualify for parole thereafter, and that's what he wants to reinstate for what he calls nonviolent crimes.
Yeah. Now, when you read the pros and cons in your book, in the booklet that you get, the pro is, oh, it's for nonviolent crime, and then the people who are against this and say, no, vote no on this because it's letting out violent criminals. So they're both claiming that.
Well, it gets very legalistic. There's a section of the state penal code, 667.5. that defines 23 violent crimes. And so his measure exempts anyone from on that list, convicted on that list, from receiving the benefits of parole. However, that's not an all-inclusive list, and there are many crimes that you and I and most people would consider to be violent. Certain forms of rape, for example, and assault and so forth, that are not on that list. So they would qualify for the parole that the governor wants to reinstate. And then he throws another zinger into it, except I don't expect the parole board to be looked nicely on anybody convicted of a sex crime, even though they would qualify for early parole under this. But it gets very confusing after a while.
Is he
doing
this?
Technically speaking, they're both right, but it all, as in the, what is the meaning of is? We remember the, what is the meaning of is?
I remember.
What is the meaning of a nonviolent crime? Now, it so happens that the state's Department of Justice, in their listing of crimes, considers a whole bunch of things to be violent crimes that Jerry Brown's initiative doesn't consider to be a violent crime, which is why Loretta Sanchez has been criticizing Kamala Harris for putting a ballot title on this measure, Jerry Brown's measure, Proposition 57, that says it only applies to nonviolent crimes, because her own department said there's a whole bunch of other crimes that are violent crimes that Jerry Brown's thing doesn't cover. This gets really confusing after a while.
Now, do you think Jerry Brown wanted this because prisons are too crowded, so he wants to drop the prison population?
I think that's a subsidiary motive. I think Jerry Brown's very much in legacy mode. He wants people to remember him for certain things. And this is one of the things he wants people to remember him for, is that he reduced the number of people in prison and eased up on these lock them up and throw the key away bills and laws that began to be enacted when he was during his first governorship. He signed a number of those laws, including the determinate sentence law, and now he wants to undo that and be remembered for undoing it.
I'm not, you know, and I don't want to sound, I mean, just to take the opposite view, and I don't want to sound like a hard, tough guy, but the majority of people don't want to see violent criminals get out, criminals with violent act crimes get out early. So who is going to be happy with this if 57 passes? My tendency is to vote no on it. Do you think it'll pass?
I think that it probably will pass.
And why would this be a positive legacy for him? And why did you use the word subsidiary motive instead of ancillary motive?
I can't answer that question.
Well, I always got to get an English lesson from you because you know so much.
Well, ancillary means outside of it, but whereas secondary means part of it, but a lesser part, I would say. That'd be how I would define ancillary and subsidiary. But then I'm not the linguist that Jerry Brown is, where he talks about subsidiarity, which is an entirely different.
Well, why don't we get your mother on the phone? She's the crossword queen. She would have a better answer for that.
She's the upwards queen, not the crossword queen. Well, she does crosswords, too. 100 years old. She's pretty spry. By the way, this is my 73rd birthday. Third birthday, so it shows you how old my mother is.
Today is your birthday?
Yes, it is.
Well, and gosh, so, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Anyway, so why would you vote for it? Well, because people don't like locking up, believe it or not, don't like having so many people in prison. They consider it to be wasteful. And polling indicates that the voters are likely to pass this measure. There's no organized finance campaign against it. Jerry Brown is throwing a considerable amount of money into getting it passed. And, it's likely to pass.
Okay, I'll vote no just to try to prove you wrong. Now, number 62, Proposition 62, you're talking about people, you say there's a feeling from surveys that people want to reduce prison population. And believe me, so do I. I think, you know, nonviolent crimes, people decriminalizing pot, for example, would have been a great idea. Legalizing pot the way they are is crazy, I think. Decriminalizing it would be a great idea.
Well, that's on ballot, too. That's Proposition 64.
Will you still love me when I'm 64? We can talk about that. But let's go to number 62, which is interesting. That's about the death penalty, which would also decrease the prison population.
By about 700, maybe. No, actually, it would not decrease the prison population, because these people who are on death row, 700 or so men and women on death row, would not be released from prison.
They wouldn't
be executed.
Well, this is passed.
Yes, if it is passed. So it wouldn't decrease the prison population.
But if it doesn't, in other words, I was joking that if they were all executed, it would decrease the prison population.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly true, by 700.
Now, ironically, although I agree with the death penalty in principle, in certain circumstances, I know it can be very bad and it's horrible, I'm probably we will vote yes on that because the path to execute someone is longer than most people's lifetimes. So they just
people are more likely to die of old age and be executed. If you're on death row, you're more likely to die of old age.
Exactly. So if you get rid of it, at least from the get-go, it's boom, life without parole, and then there's not all the appeals process. Is that a fair statement to make?
Yeah, I mean, if you assume that the, as a practical matter, the California is never going to truly reinstate the death penalty because of the current issue being how are you going to kill these people? You know, what combination of drugs or electrocution or gas or firing squad or hanging or beheading or whatever you're going to use? They can't seem to get it going on that level. If you assume that it's never going to be enforced, why waste all the money keeping these people in a special segment of the prison population and all the appeals and lawyers and all that kind of stuff?
Right, right.
That's a perfectly legitimate question, because I think as a practical matter, we're never going to execute anybody else in California. Now,
right.
There's another ballot measure, as you know, that would try to cut through some of that red tape and get us back to executing.
That's 66.
That's 66.
And that is to streamline the death penalty?
Reduce the red tape of death, I guess you'd say.
So would it be hypocritical or contradictory to vote yes for 62 and yes for 66?
Not necessarily, because if you assume that you may be in favor of speeding it up, but if you assume it's not going to happen anyway, you might want to vote for 62.
Well, that's why I wrote yes on 62 and yes on 66.
Yeah, talking with somewhat contradictory view, but then it kind of actually resembles a position that Jerry Brown might take, because he has a proud of his capacity to hold conflicting views at the same time.
Talking with Dan Walters, syndicated columnist out of the Sacramento Bee. Today's his birthday, 73 years old. How old is George Skelton?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think he's probably 4 or 5 years older than I am.
And you are out of the Sacramento Bee, and you your column appears in the Santa Barbara News Press. Google Dan Walters, and you'll be able to read his columns. Amazing guy. So that's the propositions on crime. And in fact, you use the term in the column that you wrote, escalating debate over crime and punishment. And I was wondering if you were intentionally quoting Dostoevsky, or is that just a term that's used quite commonly today?
I was consciously quoting Dostoevsky, then whoever reads him anymore, who knows? Only some old folks like me.
Yeah, right. Well, I know you're old, but not as old as him, or when he wrote. So those are the anything to before we leave the.
Well, I think it is, as a column pointed out, as all of this is being debated, we are actually experiencing an increase, a substantial increase in crime in California after years of filling. Now, we hit a high point in crime about 1980, early 1980s, when crime was a really powerful political issue in the late 70s, early 80s. And we had hit a high peak of crime rate during that period, when you see crime is expressed as so many crimes per 100,000 population. And it's been going down ever since, except that in the last 2 or 3 years, we have seen an increase in both violent and nonviolent crime. And some people ascribe that to the fact that we have reduced our prison populations pretty dramatically, maybe about one-third, or close to it, maybe a quarter anyway, maybe a third. And we're not sending as many people to prison as we used to. More people who commit crimes are on the street rather than being behind bars, either local bars or state bars. And there are those who say that attitude, that kind of looser attitude about crime, has been the underlying cause of this spike upward. And it's a pretty significant spike. Violent crime between 1914 and 1915 in California, according to the FBI reports, increased about 7.5% per 100,000 population. And that was 2.5 times the increase in the nation as a whole, which was 3%. And murder, same way, about double the national homicide, about double the national increase. So we are seeing an uptick in crime, and it's the same holds true to nonviolent crime, property crime. Now, that's a very recent piece of data. This came out a few weeks ago, and we don't know what the causes are, that's part of the debate. Are we getting too loose? In other words, we've loosened up on crime, definitely, between realignment aimed at reducing prison population and Proposition 47 that the voters passed a couple of years ago, reclassifying a bunch of felonies as misdemeanors. And now the governor's measure, we have been loosening up on crime rather than...
Well, wouldn't that be an argument to vote no on 57?
Because it might be. If you believe that there's a cause-effect relationship there, that maybe that is a reason to vote no on Proposition 57. But it is a fact that we are seeing an uptick in crime, particularly violent crime, in California. We can talk all day and all night about why that's occurring, but the fact is it is occurring. We should not doubt that. It is occurring. And we've seen this uptick was reported earlier by state authorities, but what we haven't seen is the contrast with other states and other. We had the 13th highest increase in crime, violent crime, of any state, and our violent crime rate is the 13th highest in the United States. So our crime rate tends to be more like states in the South where they have very high crime rates, places like Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, Texas, whatnot, than it does with other northern states, low crime rates. But the further you go south and from the Canadian border south, basically the crime rate goes up.
Now, let me ask you this. A listener just texted this question in. Mayor Giuliani was in New York and claimed that stop and frisk dropped the crime rate in New York, and it was a big success. And everyone debates that. People say, no, it didn't. He says, yes, it did. People say it's unconstitutional. But here it is in California. There's no way that's going to happen in California. Is it, or do you agree?
Probably. I think it probably, stop and frisk probably did have a deterrent effect on crime. What you don't know is how much it did and whether it's an appropriate thing to do anyway. It wasn't exactly declared unconstitutional. It, per se, it's not unconstitutional, as I recall. The specific practice that was before the court was wrong, but the overall notion of stop and frisk, I don't believe is being declared.
You know what? I said it, but as you are responding, I remembered hearing, too, that it wasn't officially, but it went to a court, but they didn't take it any further to determine if it would be ruled unconstitutional.
So it's... Obviously, anything you do like that, more police patrols, stop and frisk, all these things, will have a dampening effect on crime, period. The question is how much it works, is it worth it financially, and is it legal in terms of civil rights? And you could stop crime, all crime, overnight if you wanted to. I mean, you could simply put a policeman on every other citizen in the United States and they wouldn't commit any crimes. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So crime and crime suppression is always a mixture. It's always a series of trade-offs. How much money do you have to spend on police and prisons? How tolerant are you of police tactics and so forth? It's not a perfect equation, but all you can do is say, this is what we're going to do in way of policy, and then come back a year or two or three or 4 years later and say, well, did crime go down or did it go up? Did stop and frisk reduce crime? Did Proposition 47 increase crime? Will Proposition 57 increase crime some more? And you do something, and then you look back at it from a statistical standpoint and say, what happened? Not only what happened, but where it happened and what kind of thing happened. And in big city police departments like New York, they maintain very meticulous records, and they it's like a command center, and they know where the crime is occurring and where it's not occurring. It's like weather. I mean, they track it like weather, statistically. And so and they double up police patrols where the crime rate seems to be going up, and they reduce them where the crime rate's going down. And this is like it's like managing traffic or weather or something like that. I mean, it's that sophisticated.
Okay.
We don't do that so much. I think maybe L.A. they do that, but I don't think we do it pretty much any place else in California.
Okay, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, is my guest. We're up against the clock, so I'm just going to recap quickly 57, 62, 66, see which one you think will win, and then we'll either say goodbye, or if you have another 9 minutes, we can come back and talk about the marijuana legalization and the carry-out plastic bags and a couple other things.
But I don't have 9 minutes. I've got to be someplace.
57, okay. 57, you think it'll pass?
I think 57. I think all the 57 will pass probably. 64 will pass. That's marijuana. 66 to eliminate the death penalty will probably pass. I doubt 66 will pass. I think we're going to be in another era of experimentation on whether loosening up on crime.
And you know what's? This is going to shock you, or maybe not, because you don't know me that well. But I'm thinking of voting no on 64 for marijuana legalization. I think they went crazy too far. I agree that it should be decriminalized. I think medical marijuana is fine. But when they went to medical marijuana, why didn't they just put it in a bag of a few joints and put them in pharmacies? Or do some of the edibles or some of the...
It's instead, real simple.
Why? They created this whole... These stores, like wine stores.
It's huge amounts of money involved.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We don't need another mainstream drug and encourage people. I think if you want to smoke pot, you should. It should be, you know, it should be decriminalized. But to glorify it... And you're talking to a guy who smoked pot in college, and I wish I never had in a way because it killed my drive... I wouldn't blame anyone for smoking. You should be able to smoke, but it's just crazy to glorify it.
Well, the theory is people are going to do it anyway, and why, if it's going to be done, it should be done in a regulated sort of way and be taxed rather than being this underground economy. That's the argument for it.
Well, okay.
And by the way, I didn't smoke in marijuana college. I didn't even go to college, so I couldn't smoke marijuana. I didn't smoke it out of college, for that matter. I would have no idea what it tastes like or smells like. I know what it smells like because I smelled it. I smelled it at a political rock concert.
Would you be willing to try it once it becomes legal?
No, I have no desire. I don't smoke. I don't drink. And I don't do marijuana.
How about brownies? We can get you a marijuana brownie.
Don't need marijuana brownies. Don't need any of that stuff. I'm high on life.
I'm high on you. Dan Walters, happy birthday. Turned 73 today. Happy birthday. Thanks for joining me. All right. Mark Snyman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with maybe some motoring with Mark and maybe something even more interesting.